Good morning. Today we're going to consider another of Jesus' teachings, the parable of the great dinner or banquet, where Jesus uses images that, if not everyday and humdrum, are at least natural and relatable. In our case, a great feast that is at first surprisingly ill attended. Now, our passage is one of seven episodes in chapters 13 and 14 that Luke links together, although not always chronologically. In each, we see Jesus respond to something that is said or something that is done in his presence. Jesus heals a man of dropsy and a crippled woman. He talks about questions of hospitality, humility, and positions of honour. We hear that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed and like yeast in flour. Now, our particular interaction is one of four that happen at a supper that Jesus has been invited to. A fellow guest, perhaps fairly innocently, declares, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God," and is rewarded with this rather ambiguous story from Jesus. The wealthy master of a house throws a great dinner, but when the day comes, the previously invited guests suddenly all of them find themselves too busy to attend. So instead, this master throws open the banquet to those he finds on the street, the lame, the poor, the crippled, and even to those his servants find on roads and lanes far beyond the city. So two words that strongly sprang to mind when I considered this passage were firstly plans and secondly invitation. And I'd like to consider both of these in turn. So firstly, plans. I'm sure like me, you've suffered months of cancelled plans due to the COVID pandemic and the lockdown. Perhaps in late March this year, you were hopeful that holidays in July might yet be saved, that weddings in August might go ahead. And then the grim reality crept in that this wasn't just a few cancelled parties, but perhaps the most significant disruption to life, the economy, public health that most of us will ever know in our lifetime. I think the word unprecedented got slightly overused in news reports. So planning for the future and working to determine where we might be in a few years' time is reasonable and instinctive. Even the most spontaneous of us make plans. It's human nature. Yet earlier in chapter 12 of Luke, we're pulled up short by the parable of the rich fool who spent his time planning what he would do with his wealth to secure his future. "And I will say to my soul," says this man, "soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life has been demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose then will they be?" Everyone, the boxer Mike Tyson is reputed to have said, has a plan until they're punched in the face. And COVID has been one massive punch in the face to our full diaries, impressive schedules, and assumptions that basically in Western liberal democracies, things will just carry on as normal. Now, I have to stress that plans and diaries are not wrong in themselves. I'm guessing that most of our churches would stop functioning without timetables and calendars and rotas. But unlike the guests at this dinner party, we have to be careful to hold our plans lightly and not blindly pursue them, risking losing something of greater significance and ignoring the one of greatest importance. The guests in Jesus' story all had something they thought was more critical or desirable to do, and they had different excuses. "I've just bought a field," says one. "I've just got married," said another. But they had the same intention to get out of an invitation that had somehow slipped down their list of priorities and lost its value. In other words, God's kingdom came second to everyday pressures and distractions. In his teachings, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that in the end, status, money, power, influence, or religious standing are useless in gaining entry into the kingdom of God. What is required instead is humility, trust, and a committed response to Christ. Now, as believers in the church, we might assume that prioritizing God would be a no-brainer, but the good is so often the enemy of the best. Buying property or spending time with a new spouse are, of course, not bad things. In fact, they're gifts from God, and as such, they need to be prioritised and enjoyed in the right way. Now, some of you may have seen this demonstration before. This glass bowl shows us, or is an analogy of our lives. And you might hear a few clinking noises, but into this glass bowl, I'm going to put these three big pebbles, and they represent the most important things in our lives: our faith, our family, and our friends. But of course, we all have other responsibilities. We all have other things that we have to do in our life. Not least, we need to eat. We have our jobs. We have other commitments. And these are going to be represented by, excuse me, this gravel. So I'm just going to pour them in and fill the little gaps. Okay, and then of course there's lots of other things, perhaps not as important, but commitments, holidays, all the other things we have to do, filling in tax forms, and you'll always find that there's space for this. We're going to be represented by this sand. So hopefully that should fill up our glass bowl, making it look pretty full. So here's a life that's full to the brim, and we surely can't fit anything else in, but I hope this is going to work. Here we have some water. So even when this bowl was full to the brim with sand and pebbles and gravel, we can still get more stuff in. So the message is simple but important. There is always going to be more things being jammed into your life. But if you don't put the big pebbles in first, your faith, your friends, your family, you'll never find the space to fit them in. And lastly, in conclusion, invitation. It seems highly probable that the Apostle Luke was himself a Gentile and not Jewish. So Luke is perhaps the most outward-looking, the most other-focused of all the gospel writers. His emphasis is Jesus, healer and redeemer of all, not just a king for the Jewish nation. The question, who will be saved, in Luke becomes less important than the radical declaration that anyone can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no person his gospel cannot reach, no culture it cannot communicate with, no life it cannot transform. Luke in his gospel champions the other people on the outskirts of society who tend to get ignored. At the end of Jesus' story, we literally see the doors of the great house being thrown open and those least likely to expect an invitation, the poor, the marginalised, being given a seat of honour, the upside-down economy of Christ in his kingdom. And it's worth considering how we in the church can extend this invitation to all in our homes and churches. How can we make people feel comfortable and accepted? To realise that God's welcome is freely available and they are worth the time, effort and expense of a beautifully prepared feast, perhaps literally as well as metaphorically. And I'm thinking here of the wonderful meals that in non-COVID times were often prepared for the Alpha course. Here is invitation and love working in practice, people being welcomed into the courts of Christ the King through our actions. And whilst Luke rightly champions the poor, we also need to remember that the invitation to meet God is also for the poor in spirit. Those we know who perhaps on the surface seem to have it all together, or those not physically needy but battered and broken by the storms of life, suffering mental anguish. The temptation can be to walk alongside unbelieving friends and respect their space so much that we never purposely explain what we believe. Let's not wait until someone is in dire straits to intentionally offer an invitation to explore and experience the Christian faith. You Christians always get people when they're down, the fictional DJ Alan Partridge says in one episode to his assistant Lynn, and he has a point. Yes, we witness by our actions and our character, but let us never forget the first and best way we can do another person good right now is to introduce them to Christ. Let's send out those invitations.